Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. CPA Trendlines presents an episode of The Disruptors.
Welcome to Accounting Disruptor Conversations. I'm your host, Liz Farr from CPA Trendlines. In this series, I'm going to be talking to thought leaders, consultants, and coaches in the accounting world. Some may be well known to you, some you may have never heard of, but these are all people who have interesting ideas about how to move accounting into the future. My guest today is Geraldine Carter, founder of She Thinks Big Coaching. Welcome to the show, Geraldine.
Hi, Liz. Lovely to be with you.
Oh, thank you. It's lovely to see you too. Well, we've got a lot to cover, so let's dive in. Yeah, we've been hearing for probably a decade or more about the talent crunch in accounting, and COVID just made that worse. What are your ideas on how to make things better? And what have you seen firms do successfully?
So it's a great question and an important one, because the impacts when staff is short are far reaching. And I'd say the obvious answer is to simply make accounting as a profession more attractive. And right now, from the outside looking in, what a lot of people see are CPAs and accountants working crazy hours, 60 hours a week, 80 hours a week, no end in sight. They work on weekends. They clean out their inboxes on Sunday, and they're back at it again on Monday morning. And they're doing it for money that's good, but not amazing. They're making $200,000, $400,000, maybe $600,000 a year. And that's basically two full-time jobs. Do the math. You could get a job and, you know, you could go work at Google or a tech company or somewhere professional and make just as good money and actually have vacation and time with your family. So I hate to be the bearer of sort of straight up bad news, but the primary reason that there's a shortage is just that it's not that attractive from the outside looking in from a quality of life standpoint. So I work with accountants and CPAs to help them have much healthier, better balanced lives and businesses, and do the same throughout their firms so that they have staff who work regular hours. They don't work insane hours, and they're well compensated, and they have a balance, a balanced lifestyle. And when they do those things, they're able to attract talent, because they're able to, like I say, create a working environment that people want to be in, a culture that's healthy and supportive, and pay that's, you know, they're well compensated. So I think the sort of old school thinking of it's attractive or noble or something to work 80 hours a week is headed by the wayside, and the up and comers who are 30 don't necessarily agree. So I'd find a way to make it attractive, make it appealing by having it be both a professional career that is also well compensated and supports other parts of life.
That's a great answer. And I really identify with the work-life balance part, because I was working way too many hours. And, you know, as a skier, I would come out the door in April and think, well, wait a minute.
There goes, what happened to ski season?
Did I miss winter again? What happened?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And yeah, ski season doesn't pick up in May. When it's done, it's done.
Yep. It's over. It's over. Yep. Now, until recently, the business model for accounting firms hadn't really changed much for decades, but we are slowly seeing more firms move away from the billable hour, and they're developing new organizational structures, maybe with new job titles, maybe with new career paths. What are some of the changes that you're seeing in the firms that you've been working with?
Yeah. So we're working to reduce client load and move away, particularly from Orphan 1040 work, because there's just not a lot of value to squeeze from that sponge. And heading into a few different lanes. So the easiest lane to kind of, if you imagine a four-lane highway, if you go over one lane, the next lane over is business advisory. And it's pretty straightforward. It involves things like meeting quarterly, maybe monthly at the higher level, but you're providing more frequent touch points for your clients so that they can drive the profitability that they're looking for in their business. Another lane over from that is something like fractional controller, where you're definitely meeting monthly with your business owning clients. And similarly, you know, providing that high level financial support. Fewer of my clients head over all the way over to fractional CFO roles. That is quite intense. And it is a dramatic shift in business model. You go from 400 clients down to 4 or 8 or 10, but it's a significant shift. And it's so much more high touch that it takes time to get used to. And it's more intense in terms of regularity than, for example, business advisory, sort of a lighter version. So those are the three lanes over that are next to just being a CPA and have supporting your clients with accounting. But what's really interesting are some of the non-traditional bespoke places that some clients are going, which is like expertise and consulting strictly for employees inside tech startups that are about to IPO and need to understand stock options and the implications of exercising stocks and when and things like that, and focusing solely on those people. Or another example is niching into farming or whatever niche somebody chooses, and then building a membership or subscription-based business model. Apparently my cat didn't get the message that the door was closed.
Hello, cat.
Hello. So heading over into a membership or subscription-based business model where you provide expertise, information, guidance, but you don't have their accounting underneath your roof. So this CPA Trendlines does this, right? They have the business model without being on the inside. So maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but it's an information-based publishing subscription business model. And CPAs can do something quite similar if they have very narrow expertise in a narrow industry, and they can make a big impact with a large number of clients who are in that same narrow industry. So those are some of the interesting places that you can go once a CPA offloads their Orphan 1040 work and gets out of the weeds and gets out of the 80 hours a week, I'm so busy that I'm blind, I can't see straight. And they start to get more intentional about the business that they want to design. So there are a number of interesting wide open lanes for CPAs.
Those are really, really different from what I experienced in public accounting, where it was, you know, we sell time and we take whoever comes in the door, and we will do whatever it is that anyone who comes in the door needs us to do. So we did all kinds of crazy things. But I'm not sure that that is, well, I'm pretty sure that that was, that's not the way to move forward in the future. And now you're talking about firms that are moving from, you know, this many clients to maybe this many clients, which is kind of the opposite of what most accountants think of as growth and scaling. So the growth and scaling that you are teaching your the people you work with is very different. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
And how your pricing falls into that?
Sure. So I think there's the commonly held, or the most popular way to grow, if you will, at air quotes, is to grow by headcount. And headcount isn't what drives revenue. If your pricing is based on the number of hours that you work, then sure, more clients who need more things from you means more time, which means more billing. But really what people are buying at the end of the day, what they spend money on is value. They don't care about your time unless they're, you know, your in-law or something, and they vaguely care about your time. But for the most part, they're pretty indifferent to how long things take you. They've got busy lives. They don't even notice. And they really don't care how hard it is. And really what they care about is their own self-interest and does this advance my cause? So if you can understand what provides value in the eyes of the client and then give it to them as quickly as possible and price it accordingly, then suddenly it changes the whole equation. So what we do is focus on the question, what do my clients value? Because all your pricing is going to fall out of value. I mean, unless you want to bill in arrears by the hour, but you're much better off if profitability is what you desire, and I presume that most CPAs desire profitability, then you're much better off asking the question, what do my clients value? And finding all the different ways that you can deliver value, and then simplifying your business model over sitting above tax, because tax is enormously complex. And as far as I can tell, only going to get more complex. There doesn't appear to be a movement to simplify the tax code. So why layer a complicated business model on top of a complicated topic? I mean, it just explodes the brain. So what we need to do is find a very simple business model, focus on value delivery to the client, and from there, work backward, determine pricing, determine how you're going to work with your clients. And now suddenly you focus on profitability and you focus on how do I make myself more efficient and get my time back, because I get paid the same either way, right? If we cared about time, we might as well go back to pencils and erasers and dial-up. Then you'd bill more. That's ridiculous. So, you know, we all know that we're not going to do that because it's preposterous. But why the billable hour lives on is like continues to be this fiction that the industry is so steeped in that they just have a hard time seeing the other path to go in, just because it's kind of obscured. Very few people are talking about it. The conversation tends to be at the level of technology and automation. And I get that those things are sexy and they're fun and they're tangible in air quotes and discrete and seem readily solvable. Whereas value is much more nebulous and much more difficult to get your heads around. And CPAs like specificity. I get it. I'm a numbers person too. But the CPAs who challenge themselves to understand value and learn to price accordingly will absolutely reap the reward and be grateful that they took the harder path.
If more firms did what you're proposing, then we would have many more happy accountants, I think.
And you have business owners who are more successful, right? Let's not forget that the business owners are suffering when their accountants are too busy. Right? Business owners need answers to questions like, what is this number? I need this number to calculate this other thing. And they can't get a hold of their accountant for weeks. They get their autoresponder. I'll stop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I completely agree. Now, in the past, accountants needed to carry around the IRS code in their heads or the FASB regulations, or they needed to be really, really good with a 10 key. So what do you see as the skills that accountants will need in the future? It's quite different from what we used to need to do thanks to technology.
Yeah. So I talked to a lot of thought leaders in the CFO space. I too have a podcast. If listeners are interested, it's Business Strategy for CPAs. We talk about business strategy exclusively for CPAs. And I talked to CFOs who have moved, who themselves talk to other CFOs or themselves are CFOs. And what they say repeatedly, again and again and again, is the main differentiator is not how good you are at tax or how good you are at accounting. The main differentiator is emotional intelligence. Mm. What is emotional intelligence? And how do we not scare off our audience when we talk about emotional intelligence? And the reason that we got into this line of work is because we wanted to just deal with numbers, because we like numbers and formulas and kind of optimizing things, right? So what does it mean now all of a sudden if I need to bone up on my emotional intelligence skills? And what these folks will say again and again is the ability to listen. to say a few sentences, convey a concept, and then zip it, to really hear what is on your clients' minds, and then to think about how you might be able to solve them, to be able to tell a story, synthesize a bunch of information, and tell a story that is at the right level of comprehension for your audience. Because you have clients with varying degrees of understanding of accounting, finance, tax code, all the rest. So being able to understand and read what they know and what they don't know without losing them, without talking over them or talking down to them, really being able to convey the information, help them understand in a way that they are ready to receive and then can go apply. And being able to read your client, right? Reading body language, reading what they ask, what they don't say, in addition to what they do say, and acting accordingly. These are all skills that are not discrete skills that most of us are taught in school along the way, K-12, right? And yet they serve us incredibly well when we're dealing with clients in business, in money. A lot of business owners are scared of their money. Either they have not enough and don't know what to do, or they have too much and they don't know what to do. And they're scared either way. And for them, money can be fraught. And so, and if you're a CPA, you deal with money all the time. You're just super fluent in numbers. You toss around big numbers like it's no big deal, but your clients may not be occupying that headspace. So being able to appreciate where they are and respond in kind is enormously valuable and often undiscussed in the space.
Yeah, those are all things that we certainly are not taught in school. I didn't have any classes in listening skills or storytelling in my master's of accounting class. We kind of touched on the importance of writing, but that was about as far as it went.
Yeah.
Now, many accountants try to do too many things. And when they do too many things, they don't end up doing anything very well. So what, in your opinion, should accountants stop doing immediately?
Well, we mentioned Orphan 1040s for accountants who are doing tax work. And I would put that at the very top of the list. I would also stop overworking. Overworking is not your friend. What got you here is not going to be the thing that gets you there. Marshall Goldsmith, I believe, was the author of an excellent book titled What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And what I say to my clients is what got you here, which is saying yes to every opportunity and working hard, is not only going to be not the thing that gets you there, but it's the very thing that will prevent you from getting there. The moment you are full, you have now gone beyond capacity. It's best to stop at 80% so that you have time and headspace to think about where to lead your business. Overworking is so common in this space and is widely believed to be the path, but it is thinking that will get you trapped. So any CPAs or accountants who are thinking that overworking is the path need to change the thinking to, I'm finding a smarter way to do this. And when you tell your mind what to go looking for, you leverage your own confirmation bias. All of us are human. We have confirmation bias. Use it to your advantage to go looking for the smarter, easier path to do it. So I would say believing that overworking is the path is the second thing that I would stop doing immediately. And I would let go. I would, as quickly as possible, I would let go of all excess work in a way that is caring, but clear to your clients. Because the only way to get off the hamster wheel is to decide to get off the hamster wheel. There's just no easy, there's no magic pill. So the sooner a CPA or accountant can make that commitment to exit ramp off the hamster wheel, the sooner they can set about building their business in a smart way that is going to benefit them and benefit and lead them to the life that they want to live.
Those are all really great ideas. I love them all. I especially like the idea of saying no to overwork. Somebody told me, I can't remember who it was, but they said that when you say yes to something, that means that you are also saying no to everything else that you could do. But when you say no to something, you're only saying no to that one thing. So that might be a good way for accountants to think about stopping their tendency to overwork.
Love that. There's a lot, everything you're saying, I love that. You're saying no to everything else.
Yes. Yes. Because you can't do it all. You just can't.
Cannot do it all. There's no such thing.
No, no, absolutely not. Now, accountants know that working too long is bad for you. They know that they can't keep working young people and hope to keep them on board, but they're not willing to make any changes. So what do you think are the biggest blocks to change?
Feeling uncomfortable, simply put. People would rather experience the discomfort that they know than the discomfort that they don't know. And that can look like any number of things, but I actually just wrote an email to my list today. So I, in addition to the podcast, I have a email list that I write one tidbit about business strategy to my list of CPAs and accountants. And I covered this exact topic, right? Because knowing the answer to change isn't the thing that leads to change. We know this because so many people know what they need to do and they're just not doing it. So the question is, why is that? And some people are too overwhelmed. They have so much going on that they can't think straight long enough to actually hatch a plan and execute it. Some people are nervous that they're going to shoot themselves in the foot in a way that they can't yet predict. And they would rather just shoot themselves in the foot now and maintain that situation than do it a new way. They'd rather maintain the situation that they have than create something worse by stepping in a pothole that they didn't foresee. They might really be stuck with heartstrings, that our clients are long relationships that they, and those are people that they care about, and they just can't bring themselves to write the letter that says, hey, our business is going in a new direction and starting next year, this will be our last year, or this year we're transitioning and here are three wonderful CPAs we can send you to. Let us know how we can help you make that transition. That is just too emotionally, they're just too tied up in the emotions and their connections with their clients. Some CPAs believe that there are no other quality CPAs out there and they can't imagine throwing their own clients to the wolves. And other CPAs think that clients equal cash and they can't imagine cutting all that revenue because they don't understand the value and the pricing piece that we discussed earlier. So those are just some of the places that people get stuck, and each one of those, and there, I'm sure there are more, is an answer or challenge unto itself that needs its own sort of custom solution. There's not a one size fits all, but the sooner you can address where you fall in terms of what is actually keeping you stuck, the sooner you'll be able to come up with your own solutions to get yourself unstuck.
Oh, I agree completely. You know, and I relate to the thing about the heartstrings and the old relationships. You know, firm that I was at for a long time, many of the client relationships went back 10, 20 years. There was one family that the firm had been working with since the 70s. So how would you cut that off? You know, I think the only thing you can do is increase the value that you're providing to those people and say, hey, look, you know, we are doing more for you. We want to help you prosper. So in exchange for more value, we're going to ask you to step up and pay us a little more. that might work, might not. I don't know. I think it would depend.
Yeah. And there are multiple, you can give your clients options too, so yeah. that you're not giving them an ultimatum, and that helps them make the decision about what's best for them. And you set it up in ways that also work for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Now, what do you think is the next big thing for accountants? Now, CAS is big right now, client accounting services. What is in your crystal ball as the next big thing in the accounting world?
Yeah, so I think it's still a little ways out, but I think moving to a subscription model and narrowing in expertise, I think is where the industry will head, because it's better for your clients. It's more profitable for you. Businesses sell at accounting, or well, there aren't many accounting firms who that are subscription-based that have sold, as far as at least that I'm aware of. And I talk to people who transact in accounting mm-hmm. firms, and they haven't transacted on any yet to their knowledge. So I'm still looking for those. But we know that businesses that have subscription-based revenue have more predictable revenue. They have more opportunities to upsell and cross-sell, and they sell at higher multiples. So the business case is there for the subscription model, and we see it happening across all kinds of industries. We don't see it happening with any in large numbers yet in the accounting space, but there, I can't see a reason why it wouldn't eventually happen when the revenue, the profitability, the sale numbers, the sale multiples support going in that direction. So I still think we're ways off, because the thing that we're ways off from subscription being the predominant model in the space, because it requires a much narrower target market or ideal buyer or niche, however you want to think about it. And most accountants, most CPAs are still generalists, doing everything from manufacturing to pharmacies to running shoe stores to nonprofits and churches. And they're reluctant currently to narrow that. But I think once we have enough examples of CPAs and accountants doing it successfully, and they see the numbers, you know, we love to talk in numbers, and numbers carry weight around here. So once they see the numbers and they see it actually working, I think there will be a groundswell of interest in making the shift.
Yeah. And I think that the younger generation will be much more amenable to such a shift than some of the people who've been in firms since the 60s and 70s, because, you know, young people, they subscribe to everything. You know, you subscribe mm-hmm. to a phone now. You don't have to buy a phone. You subscribe to it. You know, if you have a satellite dish, you subscribe to that. You don't own the dish or the hardware anymore. You just pay for it. I think that that will become much more comfortable as more things are done on a subscription basis. So I think you're onto something there.
Yeah. And it's where I'm taking my clients too. They've all expressed interest in wanting to go there because they see the numbers and they understand that the workload is, it's a bit of a push at the outset, but that on the other side of it, that the numbers, the revenue and the cash flow is much more favorable. So that's where once I get my clients through the niching, the narrow neck of the funnel of niching, most of them have expressed a keen interest in moving to subscription models. So keep an eye out if you're looking for examples of what it looks like.
Oh, I can't wait to see what these new firms look like. That'll be so much more fun. Kind of wish that I was still in public accounting so I could do that. But then again, no, I don't miss that too much.
Yeah, no, you don't.
No, I don't. Well, this has been great, Geraldine. Thank you so much for your time. Now, if people want to reach out to you, where can they find you?
Sure. So they can find the podcast, like we mentioned earlier, at Business Strategy for CPAs. And they can find my website at shethinksbigcoaching.com. And for listeners who want to learn to think better and think higher quality thoughts about their accounting firm, I have a 2-page PDF titled The $10,000 per hour CPA Scorecard, where CPAs can go through and actually score the quality of their thinking. And are they thinking like $100 an hour CPA, $1,000 an hour, or $10,000 an hour CPA? And what does better thinking look like? So they can find that at shethinksbigcoaching.com/trendlines for your listeners.
Well, thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you, meeting you in person sometime, Geraldine.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. We hope you'll rate and review us wherever you find your podcasts to help other accountants find our show more easily. For more information, you can go to CPATrendlines.com.